It's been a busy week for Facebook. On Sunday, a video was posted on Facebook showing the murder of 74-year-old Robert Godwin in Cleveland. On Monday, Godwin's daughter, Nausea, told CNN that Facebook was how she found out that her father had been killed.
Everybody started calling me and texting me, did you see that video? Did you see that video? And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? And my family started calling me, and at first I was angry. I'm like, why would they do that to my dad? Why would you put it online? Like, I couldn't believe it was my dad.
And then on Tuesday, the so-called Facebook killer, Steve Stevens, shot and killed himself after a police chase. That same day, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg spoke about the shooting and how his company is still learning how to monitor content.
We have a lot more to do here, and we're reminded of this this week by the tragedy in Cleveland. And our hearts go out to the family and friends of Robert Godwin Sr., and we have a lot of work, and we will keep doing all we can to prevent tragedies like this from happening.
Hiawatha Bray is a technology writer for the Boston Globe, and he joins us to talk about this. Hi there.
Hello.
So you write in your column today, Facebook Live has done far more good than harm, and for every toxic video, there are millions of innocent ones. So tell me, though, you know, why do you think that, or how do you think Facebook should monitor content to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again?
Well, by their own admission, they're going to have to work a lot harder at it. But they're up against a huge problem because Facebook Live has been so hugely successful. And by the way, I should point out, they're not the only one doing this. Also, on a much smaller scale, you have Twitter doing something similar with a service called Periscope. And now that that is out there, you're going to have people all over the world at any given moment, thousands of people who are broadcasting video streams, mostly of perfectly harmless content. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do. It can even be socially beneficial with people covering news events. Or, you know, we had the case of the guy who was shot by a police officer and his girlfriend videotaped it and streamed it live. And that is leading now to a further intense investigation of police brutality. So it can actually do some good.
So you know what, Hiawatha? Let's play a little bit of tape from that to remind people of that story. Because right now we're talking about something negative. About the, you know, as we played in the beginning, we played the tape from CNN that this man's daughter found out that her father had been murdered because his murder was posted on Facebook, and people said, "Did you see this video?" I mean, it's an awful story. But as
Absolutely.
You mentioned, there are positives, and so in July, Philando Castile, he was the man shot by a police officer during a traffic stop in Chicago, and his girlfriend Diamond Reynolds began streaming video on Facebook. We have a little bit of clip of that. Let's listen.
Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. Please don't tell me that he's gone. Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
So that's what you were referring to as a good example. And the officer involved in that has been charged. But aren't there other ways to do this without doing something live? Because you obviously run the risk of exposing people to something very tragic, as you did in the case of the murder of Robert Godwin.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you put this particular genie back in the bottle. What Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook did was they took a lot of capabilities that have already been in our smartphones for a long time, and by connecting them to Facebook, what he really did was provide us the channel, the place to show these videos, the place to transmit these videos. There have been apps around for years that let you beam video to your friends, say. Or, you know, you could do a FaceTime call. But suddenly, now you've got a way to beam the video to hundreds or thousands of people all at once. And that's something that people didn't previously have the ability to do. And clearly, they didn't think through the fact that there were going to be a small but very scary percentage of people who would use this to just show terrible, terrible things. According to one estimate in the Wall Street Journal as of early March, something like 50 crimes have been shown worldwide, including murders, rapes, assaults, have been broadcast over Facebook Live. So it's really
in
a very
serious. In what
time
frame?
oh, that's over about a year, because it's only been around for a little over a year. But let's be clear, at that same time, during that same period, millions of videos have been pumped out, and most of them are perfectly harmless. It's kind of like an analogy with terrorism. In any given time, there are going to be dozens or hundreds of terrorist acts, but nobody thinks about the fact that those same technologies are used countless times every day for perfectly harmless things.
But, you know, some folks might argue, though, why do we need another platform or even a platform for anybody to post videos? You don't know what's going to happen, right? You can't possibly flag it. Many of these are live. They're happening as we speak. If someone is going to kill someone, you don't know until it's already been done on the video. So you're risking exposing viewers to violent or very disturbing content. And, you know, people might think, are more cat videos really worth this risk, Hiawatha?
Yes, I think they are. I mean, come on. In all fairness, how are we supposed to all stop using this absolutely wonderful technology because an incredibly tiny handful of people? That's like saying, let's shut down the airline industry. Somebody might put a bomb on a plane. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You can't simply end technological advancement because there are bad people who are going to use it. Let's ban cars because Bonnie and Clyde will use them to get away from the next bank that they rob. But that doesn't make any sense. Yep. What we've got to do is figure out how to minimize the chance that people can do things like this. And I come up with a few suggestions. My personal favorite is the one about how we add extra time to the prison sentences of anybody who commits a crime and then broadcasts it or posts a video online. I think that's a relatively simple thing you could do. You could say, all right, if you commit a crime and are convicted of it, and we find out you streamed the crime live or posted a video about it afterwards, you're going to get an extra 5 years or 10 years or whatever. I think that would cut down on it pretty darn fast, personally.
Well, I mean, instead of what, hate crime increased fines, yeah, you would have online crime increased fines?
Yeah, you would have, exactly. You would have some kind of a special crime for things that you, a special additional penalties for crimes that are broadcast to the public so that people can see you committing a crime. You should be punished extra for doing that.
But doesn't have...
That's one possible way of dealing with it.
Doesn't Facebook have some kind of responsibility here? What does it need to do to make sure that these things aren't posted?
Absolutely. Well, they say they're doing all kinds of things, and I'm inclined to believe them because this is terrible publicity for them, but they're going to have to do even more. They wouldn't tell me in any detail what they were working on. I went looking for some technologies that people are working on in other venues, and I talked to a guy who used to be at the Bedford company iRobot working on computer vision for robots that could see their way through the world. Now, the problem with doing something like that, of course, is that you would have to devise a way for robots to recognize what they are seeing in real time. And so they developed a technology like that, which they call Dextro. That company has now been bought by the same company that makes those police body cams, and they're going to use it so that when you see a police body video, they're going to be able to have software that can instantly tell you, at least in a general way, what that is a video of. Well, he was talking about the idea that AI, artificial intelligence, might be able to look at incoming videos for a company like Facebook and say, okay, we don't know exactly what's going on here, but I just saw a gun in that video. Alert, alert, there's a gun in that video. And then a human being would be contacted and asked, hey, you should look at this. There are other things that people could do. For example, this is something we didn't talk about here, but there are people talking about the idea of using speech recognition to recognize what people are saying in a video as they talk about, oh, I'm going to, like this guy, if they'd had that kind of technology and they're working on it, and somebody says, I'm going to kill somebody on a Facebook video, that might be a flag that would immediately get somebody, a human being, to look at the video and make sure that this is okay. Keep in mind, they don't necessarily have to look at every single video. I mean, for example, the Wall Street Journal broadcasts on Facebook Live quite a lot. NBC, other companies mm-hmm. do. I don't think you have to check their videos. But other videos, you could come up with ways to check them, and artificial intelligence is getting better and better at that. It's going to be a while, but I think companies like Facebook have a moral obligation to make the investment.
All right. Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the business section of the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome.